I greet you all this morning in the worthy name of our crucified and risen. And if he's risen, if he's our risen Lord, then he's in our hearts. Not a dead Lord, but a risen Lord and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Thank you for, I want to welcome everyone. Thank you for those devotional thoughts in the Sunday school. I was touched with the devotions in the beginning about what are you building on? And I was thinking today about, and I'm going to talk about being connected and being connected to Christ, and he talked about being building on hay, wood, stubble, but most of all building on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there's a lot of different ways we can say things, a lot of different ways we can present gospels, a lot of different teachings, but unless they're founded in and abiding, my lesson this morning is about abiding in the vine. And unless we're abiding in that vine or we're connected to that vine, it's to no avail. All we can say, we can do, unless we're connected or abided or abiding to that vine, then it's to no avail. Thank you, Merle. And I guess along with Lauren's thought about it's my fault, him and I were sitting together as the man told us about, and I'll say Dale Heisey, when he entered into a circle of men that were standing there, ministers at a ministers meeting, understand it was, and he said, "It's my fault." And the other man said, "What do you mean it's your fault? Well, if there's anything wrong here, any difference between us, it's my fault." And I plead with you. I'd like to get to that point as well, where I can just say, before there's a problem, it's all my fault. You can open your Bibles to Isaiah. We'll start in Isaiah, a little short account here in Isaiah chapter 5. This is an allegory here. About Israel, about, I'll read the first seven verses. Now will I sing my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof, planted it with the choicest vine, built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judea, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall be come up briars, thorns, and I will command the clouds that it rain not, nor rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant, and he looked for judgment, and behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. Says, and it's here, They were looking for the dresser of this vineyard, being God. He fenced out, he gathered out the stones, planted in the choicest vine, built a tower, and he put a lot of effort into this vineyard. And if we look at Israel, is what this allegory is about, the children of Israel. God brought them out of Egypt. Well, originally he took them into Egypt, saved them there, brought them back out of Egypt, out of slavery, brought them across the desert, across Jordan, helped them conquer their enemy. And it says here, he put a lot of efforts into this vineyard. And God looked into this vineyard, which was the Jews or the children of Israel, when they'd been established there in Canaan, and he looked for grapes. He looked for fruit. And I believe that's the case today. God's looking for fruit. He's putting effort into us. And he says, behold, there was wild grapes. They brought forth wild grapes. In verse 4, he's saying, well, what more could have been done? And it seems like it says, you know, I've done everything that I could, and yet it brought forth wild grapes. And he says here then in verse 5, he says, I tell you what I will do. I'm gonna give up on this vineyard. I will lay it to waste. I'm gonna cast judgment on this vineyard. Because he looked for judgment in verse 7. He's looking for judgment. He's looking for love in return for what he's done. And behold, all it was a cry. But if we think about this, then we see that Christ or God gave up on the vineyard of Israel, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, that Israel could be drafted in for another hope. And for some of those thoughts, let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 is a story about Christ and his vineyard. And it's, I think I'll start by reading the first eight verses here. Jesus says, I am, the whole chapter of John 15 is written in red letter, meaning the words of Christ. He says, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. We see here Jesus saying that you need to be connected. You need to be connected as we look as God being the dresser or the keeper of the vineyard, as Jesus Christ being the true vine, or the vine and the branches being us as people attached to or grafted in. As I studied this, there seemed to be four different kinds of branches. First, in verse 5, it says, abiding. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Seems to be a branch that's connected. It's drawing sap. It's connected to Christ. If we go up to verse 2, we see a branch that was connected. Verse 4, abide in me, and a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except abide in me. Then it talks about another branch there, in verse 2, where it says, he's going to purge it. The good branches he's going to purge. And then there seemed to be another branch that was connected to the vine that was just drawing sap, or it was drawing on Christ, but it wasn't producing fruit. And he says, I'm going to burn it. I'm going to cut out the branches. The vine dresser is going to come, and he's going to cut out the branches that aren't bringing forth fruit. Verse 6, he says, I'm going to cast them into the fire, and they shall be burned. If we look in Romans, and I'm not going to turn to that here, but in Romans, he talks about the olive tree where the branches were cut off, and he says, and the Gentile people were grafted in. And he says there, if God spared not the real branches, and he grafted in the Gentile people, then beware lest ye be grafted in and not accepted. So the lesson I'd like to get today is the fact that we need to abide in Christ, and we need to be connected to the vine. Verse 8 says, and herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. The branches here that were cut off, he says they were going to be burned. Verse 6 says he was going to prune out the branches, and they shall be burned. And if we look into Revelation, we see that in the last time, God said, the Revelator says there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for they shall be burned. These are people that have not come to the fullness of Christ. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. This ask what you will, is this saying that we can ask of God whatever we want, and if we're connected to the vine, can we ask whatever we want? And it will be done to us? And I believe The answer to this is that we need to abide in Christ, and we can only ask what Christ is going to allow us to ask. Think about when Jesus, the disciples there asked about if they could send fire down. Remember that account where the disciples said, "Should we send fire down to destroy these?" I think they were traveling, and they didn't ask them to come into their city. Said, "Shall we send fire down?" And Jesus said, "Ye know not what manner of man ye are." So I believe we can ask what we will. We can ask what we will, if it be for God's benefit, for God's glory, and not for our own personal benefit. We can't ask fire to come down to consume the man that we hate. We need to ask God for things that are within. I believe we can ask what we will, and if we are within God's, we are within God's order, if we are asking for his benefit and not our own benefit, then God will give us what we ask. Verse 10 says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I keep my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. A lot of times we call this verse 12 the 11th commandment, or it is Jesus' primary commandment. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And if we look at the way God or Christ loved us, Christ gave his whole life. His life that he walked, his experience here in life. Yeah, he gave his physical life, or he gave his breath as well. But he gave a walk. He walked an example for us to follow after. There was a couple thoughts here I'd skipped over that I wanted to touch on, and that was on in verse 8. It says about, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. If we look at James, a couple thoughts I'd like to gather out of James about fruit. James 3, 18, 17 and 18. James 3, 17 and 18 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And in the beginning of this chapter, where it says about if we are connected to the vine, there will be fruit. And the fruit that's going to be generated is first pure. Peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. And those are all words of indicating that we're focused on the vine rather than ourselves, because we cannot feel peaceful and gentle, easy to be entreated, as long as we're focused on ourselves. We need to be connected to the vine. We need to be connected to Jesus Christ. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. How do we be without hypocrisy? It says there, Israel, and when God looked for grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Are we generating grapes for God, or are we generating grapes for wild grapes for our own personal agenda? Then I thought about Galatians 5. Galatians 5:22 says the fruits of the Spirit. And I think we all know those, but I'm going to just read over them. Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Is saying that there's no law against doing, there's no law against doing right or doing good. I believe if we're bringing forth fruits, if we are attached to the vine, Jesus Christ, and we're bringing forth these fruits, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, I believe there'll be a general appearance of us that we're not a part of this world. The fads and the fashions and the pomp and the show that the world's putting on, we're not going to be part of that. There's going to be no desire in us, because if we're connected to the vine, if we're looking for fashion and attention, the vine dresser is going to cut us off and we'll be burned. The same will be our actions and our words. If our actions and our words are not like we are attached to that vine, Jesus Christ, then we will be cut off and we will cast out and we'll burn. And then we read here about in verse 12, this is my commandment that ye love one another as I have loved you. So what is love on our part? Or what does love look like? If we love Christ the way he loved us, I believe we can stop what we're doing, stop what we're working, take time for our families, and put our focus on Christ. We don't necessarily need to stop what we're doing and get attached to the vine, because if we're of the vine, if we're branches that are attached to the vine, it's going to be an everyday 24-hour day thing. We're going to be connected to Christ, and whatever we do will be growing fruits unto righteousness rather than fruits unto sour grapes. Then verse 13, it says, and greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. What does this mean to you? I talked about the man that said, well, he walked in the circle and said, well, it's all my fault. He's willing to lay down his life. He's willing to lay down whatever I had for a disagreement. And for myself, I'm going to try and do better, coming to that point where everything's my fault. I believe if we all as Christians feel that all the problems, the fault that we have, the disagreements we have, is all our fault, then there will be a way to work out the situation. What do we have that we're willing to sacrifice for another? All we have, I believe that all that we have should be for Christ. We should believe that all that we have is for Christ. So is everything that we have, are we willing to sacrifice it for another, or sacrifice it for a brother? If our brother needs groceries today and we don't have enough of groceries for ourselves, are we willing to sacrifice our groceries for another? Jesus gave his whole life in servitude for mankind. He gave everything that he had. He gave his walk, his time, and then he gave his breath as well. Second Corinthians 8:9 says, for ye know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his power might be rich. What about our reputation? Are we willing to give up our reputation? Put it on the line for our brother. Is love to you a warm fuzzy feeling where you know, well, everything goes because I love you and I'm going to allow everything. I don't think that's the love that Jesus is talking about here. That's not the love example Jesus gave to us. He gave us an example of caring. If you see a brother that's erring or needing help, or we see a brother or somebody needs admonition, are we willing to lay our reputation down and say, hey, brother, I think this is somewhere that you could improve? What are we willing to do for the love of our brother? Let's read on down this, where are we at, 13. Verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So when we ask, the last part of that I'd like to look at a little bit. Whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So when we pray, what's the first thing we ask for, or what gets us connected to the vine Jesus Christ when we're in prayer or we're asking? And I believe the first thing is that we need to, first of all, come in the thought of thanksgiving, where we thank God for all that he's done for us, all that he's given us. Before we can bring a petition to God and ask God for things on behalf of our fellow man, or things on behalf of our church, or whatever we're going to ask, I think first of all we need to come in thought of thanksgiving, where we are a thankful people, where we can say, first of all, thank you, Lord, for all these things that you've given us, all the blessings. What about when we ask God to refine? What about when we ask God to refine our souls or refine our lives? When we ask God to prune out the branches that aren't bringing forth fruit, or the branches that are bringing forth wild grapes, and we say, God, just refine my soul. Are we willing to, when the vine dresser cuts out vines, they'll be bleeding, they'll be hurt, there'll be pain. And when God comes into our life and we pray to him, we ask him to refine our souls, are we willing to? When we know that when we ask God to refine our souls, are we willing to ask, knowing that we're going to need to bear the pain that comes with the pruning that comes from the refining of our souls? Let's go on down here to verse 18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, But I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And I believe if we're living a life, a Christian life here in Deming, New Mexico, and the world can see if we're living a life that's truly Christian, then we will encounter people that are opposed to what we're doing. That the devil is here and he's opposed. But I would just strengthen us, Lord, that we may keep on keeping on. In verse 23, he says, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father." He's saying that, you know, if we live a Christian example, we will be noticed, and I believe we can speak out on God's behalf when we're noticed. But we will encounter opposition. A man was talking last week and about him, and him and another minister had gone to visit a man they were encountering, and they felt that they were getting nowhere. They felt this man was demon possessed and they were getting nowhere. And finally the one man said, "Well, I realized that me and my brother we had some contention between us, and we went outside." He said, "We need to go outside and speak outside." And they went outside, and he said, "Me and my brother made restitution of the problems between us. And when we returned into the house, the demon had two eyes fixed on us because he realized that now we were unified and now we had the power, and he was going to need to leave." Those encounters are real today. They're right among us. But unless we as brethren and sisters in the Lord are connected to that vine, Jesus Christ, we can't stand up against that devil. Verse 25, "But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law, they hated me without a cause." That's Jesus saying they hated me without a cause. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify me, and ye shall bear witness, because that ye have been with me from the beginning." Jesus is saying here, you know, if you're abiding in that branch that or that vine, that being Jesus Christ, Christ being from the beginning, if we can abide in him, we will be able to witness. Our witness will be strong. But if our witness is divided, we can't. If I go into Deming next week and I speak to a person and I say one thing, and you go into Deming next week and speak to that same person and you say something else, that person will know that I are not both abiding in the same mind, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will expose, he will expose our shortcomings. And go back to the thought in the beginning there, in the allegory of Israel, where God says, you know, I gathered out all the stones, I put forth all the effort I needed to make this vineyard prosperous. And he looked for grapes and there was no grapes. But I believe today, if we can, I believe Christ Jesus is putting forth, if we're abiding and we're connected to that vine, Jesus Christ, He will help us to put effort into becoming a strong witness here, a strong vineyard, and we can bring forth grapes unto perfection. Because this allegory here in Isaiah talks about, and he looked for grapes, and all there was wild grapes. But I believe if we're unified and God looks for unification among us, and that we're all connected to the vine, He will see that our love is to Him, and that our witness will be unified as we go about our witness here in Deming, New Mexico. With this, I wish you God's blessing. Let's kneel for prayer.